We'll look at the scripture tonight in a few minutes. In Deuteronomy. And then I'm going to Hebrews. Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
In Deuteronomy.
Thank you.
Okay. I want to look in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And this is a scripture that everybody is familiar with. If you Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I think I have just about everybody here tonight. Let's read the Deuteronomy 28. And when we read the Old Testament, someone would say, well, these are the blessings that he gave to Israel in the time they were in the wilderness. But we have the same God that Israel had in the wilderness, and God is no respecter of persons. Mm-hmm. And although the things that God promised them in the wilderness, God hasn't promised to bless me in cows, because I don't need cows. And God hasn't promised to bless my vineyards, because I don't grow grapes. But the promise of the blessing is the same. Does everybody understand?
Amen.
And he hasn't blessed me that he would put my enemies to flight, like the Philistines and the Amalekites and all the people that Israel was being defended from in those days. But yet I do have enemies that God has to put to flight from time to time, and the devil will send. And he does have to defend me more often than not. So the blessing, even though we read it in Deuteronomy, and it was a blessing for the children of Israel in those days, and the design of any blessing is not to, the design of any blessing that God blesses is twofold. One is because he knows we need the help.
Yes.
I guess I won't even say twofold. Let's say 10,000-fold.
Yes.
One, because I know he knows we need the help. Another reason why he blesses us so tremendously is because he's such a tremendous God.
Yes.
His role for us is when we're in God, it's not just a matter of some person off the street coming and giving us gifts, but he is our Father.
Yes.
And then his blessing, among all blessings, is to encourage us and give us a mind. And since we have never really walked up to him and shook his hand and spent an eternity with him, that in the time that we know him, he has a very short time in this lifetime, because our lives are very short in comparison to God.
Yes.
To convince him of how great a God he is, and to convince us of how great a God he is, and to get us to trust him.
Yes.
And even still, with all the things that he would do for us, our trust in God is sketchy. We trust him as much as we can, and some of us trust him more than others, but we should have complete trust in him. But we have such a horrendous background, being born in sin. He's working with something. When God works with us, he's working he started off with a horrible product, because we're born in sin.
Yeah.
And even when Jesus talks about of the sower and the seed, and talks about us being good ground, that's kind of relative. We're good ground as people are.
Yeah.
You know, we're not completely trusting in God, because sin has made us distrustful.
Yes.
Of what we can't put our hands on. And this is why Jesus says, blessed are they who have not seen and still believe.
Yeah.
But God does what he does. He does to trust in God. And then God's blessings are given to us because of his mercy and his grace. And that being said, I'm going to look at the blessing that he's talking about in Deuteronomy. But it is for us today. Change the horses to cars. Change the houses to houses. But change the farms and the agrarian references to jobs and things we have today.
Yeah.
And the blessing is the same. Let's start reading. I'm going to read I guess today I'm going to, I think I'll read it in King James. I think this is kind of easy to understand, so we'll see. But then I'll go back through New Living. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. And it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. If you will obey God, it's simply what it's saying. If you will obey God, and God's way is right, God will put you above all the people on the earth, and that way your blessings will be greater. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. And everything here refers to what they needed in those times, you know, the cattle and the cows and the male bulls and cows.
Yes.
Sheep and all those things.
Yes.
And what he means is whatever endeavor you're in today, if we move this modern to today's time, because even if I was reading this in New Living Testament, it would still say cows and cattle. If you move it forward to today's time, what we're saying is if you obey God, he'll bless you in your job.
Yes.
And if you obey God, he'll increase you in your money and in your wealth. And there are people who make lots of money, but they don't do a very good job of handling it.
Like they have home in their
and blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, talking about your children, and the fruit of thy ground, talking about the things that you work for, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. In other words, your material goods.
Yeah.
And the things that you store up and the things that you keep. And if you ever want to know the opposite of that, then you have to read Haggai, or one of those, when it talks about you being able to store things up and having holes in your pockets so that no matter what you do, you just can't get ahead.
Right.
When you trust God, you're able to get ahead. God will make a way.
Yes.
If we would learn to not only trust God, but to obey God. And I see a lot of people who will stand on faith and stand on faith and stand on faith, and that's exactly what they should do. And I'm wondering, if your faith is so great, why are you in the predicament that you're in? Because the truth of it is when you really begin to trust in God, God will bring you out.
Yes,
the Lord will bring you out.
Yeah.
If you allow the Lord to lead you and guide you, God will bring you out. If you stay with God, God is no respecter of persons, and God's word never fails. The Lord will bring you out, and it doesn't take much to trust in God.
Yeah.
But if you lean on the Lord, allow the Lord to lead you and guide you, God will bring you.
Yeah.
God will work things out.
Yeah.
And he says in 6, blessed shalt thou be when thou comes in and when thou goest out. In other words, whether you're at home or whatever you do in life.
Right. Yes.
God will bless you.
Yes,
yeah. The Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and shall flee seven ways. And this is God's protection for us. And
yes,
it's not too difficult to understand. God will protect us. God keeps us from many things, seen and unseen.
Yes.
Sometimes people will withstand you to your face. Now, this takes into consideration, too, when we're doing this, for the most part, enemies that come against you that you have no fault in, but it also takes care of enemies that you do have fault in. Sometimes we get ourselves into trouble, and sometimes we get ourselves into problems, and still we call on God to deliver us.
Yeah, amen.
And God still comes. Sometimes the situation and predicaments we're in, we bring them on ourselves, or we allow them to come. But God is merciful, and when we call on God, God will still show up and turn those things around. The Lord shall command the blessing 8 upon thee in thy storehouse, and all that thou setteth thine hand unto, and everything you decide to do. Joseph was a prime example of this. Everything that Joseph touched prospered.
Amen. Yeah.
And we should want to be the sort of people that our faith in God and our strength in God and our obedience to God. And obedience is a big one, because I see all of us, among us, many times, We at least look like we have great faith, and and probably to ourselves we do have great faith, but our obedience is just not that great. Because we will do what can be, we'll obey to what can be seen by others. But God sees everything and say, well, how do you know people's obedience isn't that great? You can tell by where they are in God. It's you know, the things that are not seen are seen in the natural. You know, the things that the invisible things are seen in the natural. You can you can tell by where someone stands in God how obedient to God they are. And we are great at putting on a great show of obedience. And I'm not knocking that. My God, you know, do what you can do. If it if it takes being before the people to keep you living right and keep you living holy, so be it.
Amen.
If the only way that, that you can obey God and serve God so that you end up going to heaven is having people look at you all the time, so be it.
Amen.
If the only way God could get the children of Israel through the wilderness was to give them a law, so be it. His point was, I want to get you to the promised land. And if you're the sort of person who the only way God can get you to stay holy so that you end up going to heaven is you have to always have something going on that keeps you praying. The only time you'll pray is when you're in trouble, so be it. If that's the only way that God, because ultimately you're going to need eternal life. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? It ought not be so that, you know, you have to have something going on in your life all the time to keep you coming to God. But if but when it comes down to it, and in a matter of having eternal life, if the only way God can get you to heaven is for something to always be in front of you to keep you praying, that unless there's something in your life that will that keeps you on your knees, you won't call on God. And if you're the sort of person that when God blesses you to a certain extent, you tend to run off and forget God. And so God has to always keep you just barely making it along so that you'll keep listening to God. If that's the only way God can get you to heaven, so be it.
So be it.
It's not His desire. His desire is that you would be blessed with plenty. And I was looking up some scriptures today, and some places it says that you would have all sufficiency. In other words, everything you need, God would provide. And this is what He's saying in these scriptures. He's saying, you know, if you'll obey me, if you will, and obeying God is not just being under the whip, do this and do that. You're not always being chastened. Obeying God also means letting Him lead you and guide
you.
Obeying God also means letting the Lord give you the wisdom of what is right and what is not right. Obeying God is not just do this, do that. That's not all obeying God. Obeying God is allowing Him to say to you, this is the best thing to do. And this is not, this is the thing that you probably shouldn't do. Obeying God is allowing the Lord to comfort you and to come in and to lead and guide you. In other words, in another place it says you're not leaning to your own understanding, but you're trusting in God. And what He's saying in Deuteronomy is, what He's telling them in Deuteronomy in a long word, we wrap it all up in one faith, in one word, faith.
Faith, yes.
What He's telling them to do is have faith in God.
Yes, amen.
Out of all the things, when He says, if you will obey me, if you'll go along with me, if you'll trust me, if you'll believe in me, we can sum it all up and say, have faith in God. And then when you get to the 11th chapter of Hebrews and start saying the people who obtain a good report. Says all these obtained a good report. We'll go there in a few minutes. In other words, they were pleasing to God. And why were they pleasing to God? Because they obeyed God. It's like if, let's say, for example, you have 2 kids, 3 kids, 10 kids, 100 kids. And 50 of them will obey and 50 of them will not. All of them are not pleasing to you.
No.
And then, you know, and then we'll divide them up even more. We have, out of the 100 kids, you've got 25 who will just obey to the nth degree. And then you've got 25 more who do a pretty good job of obeying. Then you got 25 more that they obey sometimes, but they kind of, you know, fall. And then you got 25 more who just won't listen at all. Well, who pleases, who is pleasing to you? You know, you would be somewhat dysfunctional if you would say, well, they all please me just the same. Then what would be the point? And what kind of person would you be? If all of them pleased you, then you would have no standard of what is good and what is not good. Because if you like the evil just as much as you like the good, then you really don't have a difference between what is right and what is not right.
Right, yes.
And what is good and not good. Yes. And God is righteous. So when we look at what he says in Moses' time, he says, the Lord says, if you will listen to me, if you will hear me, and if you will allow me to lead you and guide you, he says, you know, I'll bless you. If you'll let me lead you and guide you, it's not just a matter of sometimes I might have to just drop a job in your lap, but if you let me lead you and guide you, I can start when you're a lot younger and prepare you so the job will be there.
Yes,
if you, if you'll let me lead you and guide you, yes, sometimes you need for me just open up heaven and drop a mailbox blessing of money. I love that. Got one of those this weekend. I'm loving it. He says, but if you'll let me lead you and guide you, then you won't have to pray these extraordinary prayers that, you know, and have, you know, all these things happen once. He says, if you'll lead me and if you'll let me lead you and guide you, you know, I'll keep you in good health and I'll watch over you. And so many things will come in your life.
Yes.
If you'll allow me to do that, if you'll trust God and we, you know, we make a point of having faith in God. How do you have faith in God and not obey God?
Yeah.
People who have faith in God obey
faith,
God.
Yes,
why do they obey God? Because when you trust God, you know that his way is right.
Right, yes.
How can you say you have faith in God and not obey him?
Yeah.
You're saying, oh, I know the Lord is right, but I don't want to do it. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
So he says in this, the Lord shall establish you, being a holy people unto him, as he has sworn before, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord. In other words, we are sanctified. We belong to him. My name is written on high.
Yes.
I have an everlasting life. He will establish me a holy people. God is the one who makes me holy, and God is the one who makes me righteous. I don't make myself righteous, and I don't make myself holy. God does that.
Yes.
I don't write my own name on high. I don't blot out my own sins. I don't set myself free from sin. God does that.
Yes.
God sanctifies me.
Yes.
And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. In other words, if we really lived as holy as we're supposed to, we're really supposed to live a life where people are concerned. And it used to be when I was growing up, people had a reverence for God and they had a reverence for the people of God. I guess in this day and time, it's difficult in a lot of places to tell who's in God and who is not.
Yeah.
But people used to have a fear of people who were in God.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been that many years ago. And I don't mean some cultish fear that, you know, you're going to die at midnight. But people had a reverential fear of people who were in God, where there were some things they wouldn't say around them, some things they wouldn't say to them, some things they wouldn't do to them. And the people who drew this reverence, really, they were people who were really in God, or at least should have been in God. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people abused it and caused people not to revere them anymore. But that's not our fault who live right in God. It isn't anyone's fault who lives right in God if someone pretends to be in God and is not.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do about that. But what we can do is we ourselves can live godly.
Yeah.
And we ourselves can live holy.
Yeah.
And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. This is the material blessing. It was for them then. It's for us now. In other words, and in the fruit of thy body. Well, you know, everybody don't want a whole lot of kids. But, you know, the Lord said if you, you know. And in the fruit of thy cattle and in the fruit of thy ground and the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. In other words, you will prosper and be successful. God promises you will be successful. Remember, something I say all the time because I really believe it, because I do have faith in God. In everything we do, God is our advantage.
Yes.
We should have no problem asking God for anything that we need, because God intends that we should prosper and that we should do well. He's our advantage. And we should trust in God that for anything I can do that I think I can do in and of myself, I can do so much better with God.
Amen. Yeah.
And any success I can have in and of myself in the earth, well, because I'm educated, I got a degree, I got all this, I can have so much more success in God.
Yeah.
And what I will reap will be so much greater if I have God.
Yeah.
Because God ensures that everything I have will be blessed. Remember, he says we're blessed in our coming and our going out. In other words, he's saying When you have God, everything about you is supposed to be blessed.
Yes, yes.
When you trust in God, and I see people from time to time, and I'm sure I've been like this myself, we trust God when we feel like we can't do anything else, but there's so many things that we really would just prefer to just do all by ourselves.
Yeah.
Especially when we don't want to always obey God.
Yeah.
But that's a way that we need to ask God to deliver us from, because one of the things that we see in Jesus' faith is so great in the Father that he allows them to kill him.
Yes.
Knowing that the Father is going to resurrect him.
Yes.
And knowing that once he dies on the cross of Calvary, there's nothing else he can do. This is one of the things, too, that when I was coming along, I used to say about the people who used to preach about naming and claiming faith and doing all those things. I don't have a problem with it, but if you're alive and you can breathe, you can pray and claim things in the name of Jesus and ask God for things in the name of Jesus, and you should. But I've got to say to you that God moves, and God is so faithful. Sometimes when God moves, it's not because you ask him at all.
Yeah.
It's because God is a faithful God.
Yeah.
When Lazarus is in the grave, Mary and Martha are asking Jesus to move, but Lazarus isn't asking anything.
Anything, right.
And someone might say, well, you know, if you want God to move, you got to have great faith. I am so glad that God has moved in my life so many times. When not only did I not expect him to show up like he did, but he's acted in my life on times when I felt like I didn't deserve for him to show up and work things out.
Yeah.
But God is faithful.
God is faithful.
And God will move.
Yes, he
will. Listen,
would.
When we were sinners, we weren't faithful to God. God was faithful.
Faithful, yes.
The message that came to us and told us to come to God, God did that.
Yes.
We weren't sending for somebody to come preach to us.
Yeah.
God sent somebody.
Yeah.
That God stretched out his hands, and even, you know, beyond just Jesus coming, just in whoever witnessed to you and whoever brought you to the house of God, whoever gave you the word of God, however it came to you, this is an extension of God's faithfulness.
Yes.
And then when God reached out and moved for us and gave us a miracle and did whatever God did, he expected us to believe in him because he moved for us, and he expects that now. But he's saying, when he writes in Deuteronomy, and we'll read it again later in other scriptures, this is something that when you read in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, everybody you read in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, this is something they knew. They had faith in God. Abraham was rich. He had faith in God. Knowing his whole family was saved, they had faith in God. They moved in God. And the promises of God, they are just like they are now. Like I said, I'm not asking God for a chariot, but I do expect for him to replace my car.
Yeah.
Make a way for me to do that. I'm not asking for him for my crops and my field to grow because I'm not a farmer.
Yeah.
But I do need God to help me prosper with the income that I do have.
Yes.
And I do need him to show up from time to time and make sure that I'm doing okay. I'm not worried about my barns being full. I don't have one, but I do have a freezer, and I'm glad it's full of food.
Yeah.
I'm glad about that.
Yeah.
About that.
Yeah.
I'm glad I have a house and a roof over my head. And I give God glory for every last one of it.
Amen.
And someone might say, well, sinners have houses too. That's on them.
Yeah.
I know who blesses me.
Yes.
And the person who blesses me is one who blesses me not only with a house on earth, but a mansion in heaven.
Amen. Yeah.
And my blessing doesn't end in the earth.
Yes.
It is a blessing in heaven. It is a blessing that God gives to give me trust and faith that I'm going to have a blessing when I leave the earth. Let me finish this. The Lord shall, in 12, shall open unto thee his good treasure.
Yes.
His good treasure. Now, Chandra, put up your New Living Testament. The Lord shall open unto me. Oh, you aren't ready. That's okay.
No, I'm ready. You just change it so that I can't share.
The Lord shall put unto me his good treasure, which means that he's going to bless me according to the things that God knows are good. I was praying for Chandra a house, and I've learned to ask God, I want the blessing that comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want the blessing that comes from God, not just the, you know, I need for the Lord to bless me according to his riches and glory.
Yes.
And the Lord shall bless me according to his good treasure. That means that That goes on with the scripture that says that the blessings of the Lord make it rich and addeth no sorrow.
Yes.
I'm looking for the Lord to make a way. It says, and the Lord shall make the heavens to give rain into thy land in its season, and to bless all the work of thy hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And this is he says to Israel, and he says to them, when I get a job, God's going to bless me in it.
Yeah.
And when I move to work, however I work, whatever I'm doing, God's going to bless me in it.
Yes.
It's not just going to be just me all by myself, but God's going to move on my behalf.
Yes.
We need blessings tonight. We need God to increase our wealth. You know, Paula, Elder Smith is always talking about how expensive grocery is getting.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got to eat. And the thing of it is the Lord has blessed me to the point where I don't really ever worry about it.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about it for other people.
Yeah.
But unless grocery just goes off the chart, so far, we've been able to keep up.
Yeah.
You know, we eat pretty much whatever we want. I don't think there's anything that's priced out of the market yet. I never have caviar. That's always been a waste of money. But the Lord makes sure that however everything comes, I always have enough.
Yes.
And more than enough, because, you know, I don't have to have ice cream to live, nor a lot of the other things that I have in the freezer.
Yes.
But God makes sure that we have them.
Yes.
He sends plenty of blessings upon us. 12, here's what it says on this one. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasure in heaven and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. Now, this he says in a way because Israel is a nation in the wilderness.
Yes.
And he's telling them among all the people. And the reason why he puts this in here, the reason why he says this too, is because despite what some people have always thought, that when Israel was in the wilderness, they were just wandering out in the middle of the desert, didn't know where they were, nobody knew where they were, whatever. No, they knew where they were always. And they were just waiting for, they had to wait on God to send them into Canaan because they couldn't defeat the people in Canaan without God. But they also traded with the people who were in the wilderness, and God gave them the money and everything they need to do all those things. And what he's saying is God will give you what you need to live in the earth.
Yes.
You gotta have some place to live. God will make sure you have it. You gotta have a house. And I would like to say to the people who are homeless, and somebody say, well, he doesn't have any sympathy on the homeless. Nothing could be further from the truth. My heart goes out to them.
Yes.
I wish I could get them to turn to God for a little while.
Wow.
We've invited so many of them to church, and I've given them so many dollars and $5 bills, and to get them to come to the source of where I get money, and the source of, you know, I don't do well because I'm a genius. I don't do well because I was born rich. I'm not rich now, but we don't do well because we are born into wealth. The wealth that we were born into is when we were born into God.
Yes, yes.
We didn't have a whole lot when the Lord saved us.
Yeah.
And if I could get the people on the corner who are homeless, yes, let me give you $20 now so you can get something to eat now, but let me bring you to the source.
Yes.
And the person who says that if you'll come to him and obey him, he'll cause it to rain on your fields, and he'll cause you to be blessed and have to cause you to have. Let me turn you over to the one that I'm trusting in. I can't afford to feed you every day. Let me take you to the one who can.
Yeah, amen.
I cannot heal you. Let me take you before the person who can heal you. I can't deliver you. Let me take you to the person who will.
Yeah.
And that's the one person they won't have.
Yeah, yes.
They want you to keep feeding them. And, you know, have people who are faithful soup liners. And I wish we had a church that was big enough for a soup liner. I do. I look online at some of the churches and some of the friends that I have, and they have soup lines, and they have clothing shelters and all those, and I wish we had all that. I would love to have it. And yet, even if we had it, we would have soup liners who are regular, who would come every day for soup and still wouldn't come to God.
That's right.
Because us having faith in God, as the lady said in the seminar on Saturday, is a choice. And believing in God is a choice that people must make. And the reason why Moses was saying to this to them in the wilderness, he was saying to them, you need to choose to stay with God.
Yeah.
All this is written saying to them, you need to choose to obey God. If you're going through a difficult time and you want things to change, obey God.
Yeah.
Go to God.
Yeah.
Come to God.
Yes.
Let me finish. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou wilt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command you this day to observe and to do them. And then he says in this, verse number what? 13?
13, yes.
If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you will always be on top and never on the bottom. In other words, you'll stop being a loser and become a winner. Right. You can take it down there. You'll stop being a loser and become a winner.
Yes.
If you allow the Lord in your life, you'll stop saying, you know, everything, it seemed like to me everything would be going good for a little while, then it just goes bottom up. Then come to God.
God, yeah.
And you'll stop being a loser and become a winner.
Winner, yes.
He'll make you the head and not the tail. That doesn't mean he'll make you the president of the United States. I don't know why anybody would want that job anyway. Doesn't mean that you're going to be the head of IBM. I don't know why anybody would want that. I don't know why anyone would want a job where keeping their money becomes a job.
Yes.
What is the fun of having so much money that just keeping the money is a job in itself?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there are plenty of people who would love to have that. I'm just not one of them. And I'm not knocking the people who do. But I'm saying in God, according to the word of God, he'll make you the head and not the tail. If you think you're on the losing end of everything, come to God.
Yes.
And God will turn it around. Joseph's situation couldn't have gotten much worse. It threw the boy in a pit, told his dad he was dead. And wasn't like his dad could call him the FBI to go find him, and nobody was looking for the body. Sold him down into slavery. He was gone forever.
Yeah.
Wasn't even looking for him anymore. It was a done deal. Yeah. His life was over. And yet God watched him. And then when he's sold as a slave into Israel, he wasn't really brought in and said, oh, here's somebody who's going to make a leader. No, he was sold as a slave into Israel, and then gets into Potiphar's house. The devil jumps up in that, gets in Potiphar's wife, and throw it. And if things couldn't be worse being a slave, now I'm in jail.
Hell yeah.
How bad is it going to get?
Yeah.
But the Lord said he would make him the head and not the tail. And in God's own time, which wasn't too long, the Lord, he was in prison for about 3 years, and the Lord brought him out and set him up and made. And eventually he becomes second only to Pharaoh in Egypt. Because God makes him the head and not the tail, and he saves everyone in his family.
Yeah.
This is how God moves.
Yeah,
you might be on the losing end for a while. Might not even be your fault, as it was Joseph's. Although for most of us, the reason when we're really losers in this day and time, we have something to do with it.
Yeah.
But if we'll turn from that and come to God, God will bring us out. The Lord will see us through.
Amen.
The Lord, all these blessings, he said, I'll make you the head, not the tail. I'll stop you from being a loser and make you a winner.
Amen.
I'll stop you from being somebody who's on the bottom and put you on top.
Yes.
You'll stop being the poorest person in the earth and become someone who has some means. God will move on your behalf. Hebrews 11 chapter, and I'm almost done. Hebrews 11 chapter. And the only thing I get tonight, the only part I'm doing this tonight, because I was using this as a precursor, but my time is almost up. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. And Paul, when he writes this to the Hebrews, he says, this is what I want you to know. This is what I want you to consider. And when he says now faith, he's not saying right now faith, as people would say in a time frame. He's saying, I'm going to give you the definition or describe what faith really is and why you need it. And faith is what I have. A trust in God is what I have, because faith is trusting God until I see him.
Yes.
I'm trusting in God until I see him. And he says, and by it the elders obtained a good report. In other words, God was able to do all the things that he said he would do in Deuteronomy. And in all the different places where God makes promises. And in 2 Corinthians, when Paul talks about them having all sufficiency and all that, God made those promises. The people trusted in God. He says it down in about verse number 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. And the other promise that they don't receive at this particular time was they weren't changed from mortal to immortal.
Yes.
Having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. The result of the people in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and many of them are named here, and I'm going to go more in depth in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, but for tonight, The result of it was that these people, when God told them what he would do and could do for them, they were persuaded. Won't you be persuaded tonight to allow the Lord to really work in your life and allow the Lord to come in? And if your life isn't sitting on the mountaintop and you're in Christ, that's good.
Yeah.
You're saved and sanctified, that's gooder. You got the Lord on your side, that's great. You got heaven in your view, that's absolutely outstanding. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside, hey, it don't get much better than that. But still, if your life isn't where you want to be right now, trust God.
Yes.
Have faith in God.
Have faith in God.
You can. The Lord will do more if you'll let him. You might have some, but God will make it great. God will cause your meal barrel not to run empty and cause your cruse of oil not to fail. The Lord will move.
Yes, he will.
By it, the elders obtained a good report. In other words, they had favor with God.
Amen.
They could move in God, and God was on their side. Have faith in God. All the promises that God made in Deuteronomy, although in today's terms, they're different. But those promises have not changed.
Yeah, I know.
God will neither leave you nor forsake you. That's faith in God.
Yeah.
When you're going through, it seems like there's no one else you can talk to and nobody on your side. And I don't think there's too much worse in the earth than to come to it where there's nobody that understands what you're talking about. Nobody has any understanding what you're going through. There's no one you can turn to and say anything and expect them to say, hey, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Everyone seems to seem, you know, you say you're saying something, and everybody seems to say to you in most places, because I know for myself, seems to say to me, I don't know how you got there like that. Can't you figure this out? And maybe they're right. But the only person who can really always understand where you are and how you got there and why you feel like you feel and what you need to do in order to feel better or to get over it is God.
Yes, yes.
You can count on him.
Yeah.
He always understands exactly where you're coming from.
Yes.
He understands the background.
Yes.
He understands why you feel like you feel. He knows. It doesn't matter whether how you're feeling is right or wrong. God understands how you got there.
Yes.
And the Lord understands how to bring you out.
Yeah.
The Lord knows how to take you from being on the bottom and put you on the top.
Amen.
You can, you know, just in a plain conversation, you can say something to some people, and because we are human, they just you're saying it, but they just hear it somehow else.
Yeah.
And in everybody's desire to have wisdom, they come back sometimes and make you seem like you're such a simpleton because you said that. God never does that.
Amen. Yeah.
You can say what you want to the God.
Yeah.
And God always comes and knows exactly what to say. And he knows exactly how to understand. And he knows how to make it be all right. And God's the only one who does.
Yes, yes.
Have faith in God. The Lord will, you know, sometimes you're on the bottom. And the reason why you're on the bottom is not because of money. It's not because of sickness. It's not because of anything you can put your finger on. Sometimes you just feel like you're on the bottom.
Yes, yes.
And God is the one who will come along and lift you out.
Right. Amen.
God will see you through.
Yes.
When the Lord finishes, you'll feel like you're all right.
Yeah.
Everything will be all right. You'll be on your way. Have faith in God.
Yes.
And then when you do that, God is pleased.
Yes.
Because God is like a good father. Sometimes people say, well, you just do so much for your children, do so much, you do all this and whatever. And my answer is, I would do more if I had it.
Yes.
Why would you, you know, sometimes people say, well, man, why are you going to do all that? Why are you going to do all that? I would do more if I had it. God would do more if you let him.
Yes, yes.
For all the great things God does, if you let him, he would do more.
Yes, amen.
If you allow the Lord, there'd be fewer problems in your life.
Yes.
If you allow the Lord, what things you do have would increase.
Yes.
If you would allow the Lord, your joy would be full.
Ooh.
If you would allow the Lord, your face would smile a lot more days than it does.
Yes.
If you would allow the Lord, you wouldn't be troubled at night. And everybody's not troubled, but what trouble you do have, you'd have less of it.
Yes.
God will see you through. Everything gets better with God.
That's right. Yes, yes.
And the more you allow the Lord to come in, the better things get.
Amen.
No matter what it is.
Amen.
Have faith in God. And it's going to get better all the way to the time when I see Jesus, when he's going to change this mortal, sickly, aging, tired, decrepit, can't get anything right body, into a glorious body that's going to live forever, and then I will live with God forever, and everything will be right.
Amen.
He's working me toward that end.
Yeah, yeah.
If you will allow Him to do it. You know, I love hearing people talk about the faithworthies and people in the Word of God tonight. That's my last scripture for tonight. You know, and how people had great faith, like the woman who had the issue of blood, and the woman of the centurion, and all these people who had great faith. They're therefore examples of what we're supposed to have.
Yes.
And one of these days, I was talking to Chandra earlier, and I said, well, sometimes I think people just have faith for God for things on earth. And she said, well, maybe they don't need to know what their faith is really all about. Well, maybe they don't. But I know that the reason why I have faith in God is because of His resurrection of Christ from the dead. And I know that everybody in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, when it says they had faith in God, it was their faith that He was the true God.
Yes.
And that He would send the
Savior. Yes.
This is where it all goes down to.
Yes.
Have faith in God. I want to encourage everybody tonight, whatever you're going through, however you're going through it, maybe you aren't going through anything. I called somebody down one time. I've done it more than once. And I was praying for people, and I asked them, I said, what do you need God to do? And at least two or three occasions, maybe not more than that in my lifetime, I've had people say, well, I don't really need God to do anything. Then you don't know God.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you called me down 100 times in a day and asked me if I needed God to do anything. My answer would always be yes.
Yes.
Even when I don't know what I needed to do, I still need God to do something. Because God does so many things, as we say, behind the scenes, that we aren't even aware of what God is doing.
Yeah.
God is preparing a way. It's like with Jonah. God, when Jonah gets on that boat, God has already prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah before he even gets thrown overboard, because God knows this is where it's going to end up. And God has already made a way that he should not die immediately, but he should have an opportunity to repent. And so in many things in us, God is already preparing a way behind the scenes. And if we'll just go the way that the Lord will lead us and guide us, God will work everything out.
Yeah.
And every time the thought comes, you know, God, you know, you say to God, well, Lord, I really don't need anything from you today. I just thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. Well, that's a good prayer, because there are some days when you have enough food, you have enough money, you have enough everything, and you just want to glorify His name. And on those days, you know what you can ask Him for? I just want to be closer.
Yes.
I just want to love you a little bit more.
Yeah.
I just want to obey a little bit greater. I just want a little bit more of your mind.
Yeah.
I just want to be a little bit more like you.
Yeah.
I could stand to be able to hear the Holy Spirit a little bit better.
Yes.
I could be filled a little bit more.
Yeah.
Lord, if nothing else, if I've got all the food I need in the earth, and I've got a house, and I've got a roof, and I'm in perfect health, I can just use more and more of your spirit.
Yeah.
I can use a little bit more joy.
Yeah.
I can use a little bit more peace.
Yeah.
I can stand, if I have everything else, my peace and my joy will come, then I can just stand for somebody else to be blessed. There's always something.
Something, yes. Always something.
There's always something that God has until we see God. And faith in God says that God is always going to work everything out. So I want to encourage everybody tonight, have faith in God.
Amen.
All these promises that are in Deuteronomy, when you read them, don't say, well, that's just for the children of Israel. No, it says in Galatians, all of us who have the Holy Spirit are children of faithful Abraham.
Yes.
We have the same blessing they have. If the Holy Ghost dwells in you, every blessing that's in here is yours.
Amen.
If you will come to God, everybody standing. Thank God for His goodness and His mercy. I thank God tonight for Sister Nancy being on. Praise God for you. Pray the Lord just bless you real good. We're so glad to have you. Ella Jenkins, we're glad you're on here tonight. Praise God for you. Elder Tiantha, India, Ella Paulette's with us tonight. We thank God for all of you. Have faith in God.
Yes.
You know, and don't be afraid to ask God for anything.
Mm-hmm.
But even more so, don't be afraid to obey God. Mm-hmm. If we will yield to God if I had one thing that I would ask God for tonight, is I would want to be more like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
If rather than have silver and gold tonight, anything else, if I could ask one thing of God tonight, short of having my body changed from mortal to immortal, it would be to have the mind of Christ more.
Yeah.
It would be to be more like Jesus.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your goodness and thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your great grace, Lord, that you've given unto us, and for your precious Son, Jesus Christ, whom you gave as a ransom for our sins. Lord, whom you gave as our Redeemer, as our great High Priest. Lord, we Thank you so much, Lord. You know exactly, you knew exactly who to send and what to do. But we would have never figured it out, oh God. And without you and with all of your grace and your mercy, we would be lost. And Lord, we thank you that you blessed every one of us. Lord, that we have reasonable health and strength. And Lord, we have some issues with these mortal bodies. But Lord, we know that any healing and anything that's not done in these bodies while we're in the earth, Lord, we know that when we see you, we will be all right. But Lord, even as we stand, oh God, for all of us, Lord, because of your kindness and your mercy and your great grace toward us, Lord, touch us in our mortal bodies now. Lord, quicken us by your spirit in our mortal bodies now. Lord, give life to our mortal bodies. Heal every disease, oh God, touching all these joints and all these muscles and various places, oh God. Lord, remember Alicia tonight, oh God, and remember all the people, oh God, Bishop Lee, and all those who are working and recovering from any disease or any situation, oh God. Lord, move in them tonight, oh God. Lord, remember Mother Ware. Lord, we thank you so much for blessing her, giving her a miracle, not once, but in three places in her body. Lord, you're a great God and a mighty God. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to lift up Elder T'Angela Rogers tonight and Elder Smith. Move on her behalf, oh God. Lord, move in me in these issues in my body, oh God, in my neck and shoulder, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord, touch us in Jesus' name. Move in Minister Smith tonight, Lord. Move in these women issues and all these things, oh God. For Lord, you're more than able to heal. More than able to deliver. Lord, give Elder Reed long life and Lord, and health and strength. Lord, remember Evangelist Watson tonight and Sister Hicks tonight, Lord. We're so grateful, Lord, that she retains her right mind, Lord. It's because of you, oh God. And bless every family, every person that comes to Promise and to the churches that are in you, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord, you bless us in Jesus' name. Lord, lead us and guide us, oh God. Continue to send those in. And Lord, give us the Word of God and the revelation of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the Word of God. Lord, guard our minds against lying and seducing spirits, O God, and let us not fall into error, O Lord. Lord, that we might know the good word of God, and Lord, that we might taste of the Lord and know that he is good. And Lord, that we would follow after thee, Lord, and that we would do all that you would have us to do, and Lord, you would bless us continually, Lord, according to your will.
Yes.
And Lord, remember Ella Granberry today, Lord, and Lord, just be with her. I commend her and her sister. I don't know where she stands right now with her sister's health, Lord. I don't know what you're doing. I haven't heard. But Lord, I know you're very much aware of her. And Lord, you know what is right.
Yes.
And Lord, I trust you and I commend that situation into your hands, for the way of the Lord is right.
Yes, right.
And I commend it unto you, O God, for all that you do as well. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and we'll give you all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for all of you tonight. Okay.